Hello, you little poppers, and welcome to episode 128 of Hungry in Kentucky. I'm Sarah from Bluegrass Bourbon and Eats, and today I'm joined in Fort Lewis Studios by Carrie.
And I am so happy that Sarah's car was not stolen from in front of my house about 2 minutes ago.
It was really funny. Dear listener, I have a spot I almost always park in, which is right in front of this big living room window. But today I did not park there because the person in front of me was pulling up to park in that spot. So I was like, oh, I don't want to seem like a creeper, so I'm going to park on the other side of the driveway on the road. But Carrie doesn't know I did that. And I didn't say until another car pulled up, then she didn't see, and then she just saw an SUV driving away, which I drive an SUV. And she was like, oh my God, your car! It's moving! It's like, my car's over there.
Oh God.
So I hope it's not moving, but no, that was not mine. It was a lighter shade of color than my SUV, too.
So. Well, and I couldn't tell because the curtains that we have up are kind of opaque, so you can't really, you can see.
Translucent.
You can see through them, but you can't see through them. So all I saw was an outline of an SUV starting to move, and I was like, because fun fact, we live in actually what I consider the back part of the house. So when anybody pulls up in the front of the house, I don't see them, right? And 9 times out of 10, that's where the car was parked. That's where Sarah parks.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, we do have break-ins around here, car break-ins. Like, honestly, like any neighborhood in Lexington has. Right. Yeah. But those usually occur at like 4 in the morning, not 5 p.m.
I mean, if my car had been stolen in broad daylight, I will be suing Honda, just FYI. Because their security systems would be trash if that happened to me. I double locked it and armed it on the way in here. So
yeah, but you know what? I would have also given props to the thieves for being able to steal it that quickly.
You know what? If you want it that bad, just take it. It's not as cracked up as you think it is.
Right here,
so
have it.
Take it
there.
Although. Well, I've still got part of a payment on it, so maybe just wait.
You got a push to start, right?
I don't.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, I was thinking you did.
No. Okay. It's not as fancy as it looks on the outside.
Because I was going to say, if it's a push to start, good luck to them because...
Keys in here.
You can get started, but you ain't going to get started again.
Yeah. I'm sure you can still hotwire those, but... Who knows?
I think you can, but I think it's a little bit more difficult. I don't know. I don't know that much about stealing cars. All I know is if you would have had a Kia, you really would have been screwed.
Yeah.
Those Kia, what are they? Kia Souls, I think.
Yeah.
Is that what they are? Mm-hmm. That can easily, really easily, honestly be hotwired, like the most stolen car in the United States or whatever.
Yeah, I think it used to be the Honda Accord, and now it's the Kia
whatever. And they keep saying that Kia keeps coming out, and they're like, oh, we've got updated software, and they shouldn't be able to steal them no more. And people are like, update the software, still got stolen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want this... It can devolve into car talk. I don't care. I personally wouldn't ever have a Kia or a Hyundai. Or
really?
However you say it. Yeah.
I know people who love Hyundais.
I do too.
Like the SUVs. I know people who really like them.
There seem to be like a cult following of the, what's it called? The Hyundai Palisade?
Is that the...
That's the big SUV.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes. It has a cult following, but only for certain models. Because you know how you get on stupid Facebook? It just gives you random, like, things you don't follow, but they just keep popping up on your feed. For some reason, like, Hyundai Palisade owners group pops up on my feed a lot. And they're always like, the pinnacle of SUV is the 2021 Hyundai Palisade. All the other ones since it like suck and they're not nearly as good and it's only this one particular model. Like, that's weird. That's a real weird niche, like,
it is
opinion to have.
But it's interesting that you say that because, you know, that just kind of makes me think of there's groups for everything out there. Like, it is crazy because you're talking about random groups popping up on your feeds, and that's all I really use Facebook for anymore anyways, to just look at groups for entertainment purposes. And they're all the time, these weirdo groups popping up on my feeds, like just weirdo stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I got backyard chickens.
Backyard chickens
doing backyard stuff, scratching at the ground,
pecking at seeds.
But yeah, and I'm trying to think of like some weirder ones that have popped up lately that I just hide because I'm like, I really have zero interest in this.
Yeah, I have to hide a lot of stuff lately, I feel like.
But if you're into it, I mean, you're talking TV shows, mm-hmm. car, any kind of car.
Yeah.
There is actually this one group called Lexington Car Culture that I've let go.
I see that one sometimes.
Because honestly, that's that group, like, I like looking at the stuff that they see around town.
Yeah, because they'll be like,
look at this sick car.
They'll be like, if you own this car, kudos to you, my friend. I love this. Right? It's a fantastic car. I love this license plate. Isn't this funny?
Yeah. And yeah. So I actually like that group because, and they also like have good recommendations on if you do need your car fixed. Like people are always asking like, who should I go to for this? And people are like, oh, so-and-so's your guy or whatever.
Oh, I need to check into that, I guess.
But it, like anything, any kind of video game, any kind of music, any kind of anything group that you could think of that somebody would be into, mm-hmm. even like the weirdest TV shows on the planet. I mean, you know, there's a Gilligan's
Firefly,
right? Ugh. You know, there's like some kind of Gilligan's Island Facebook group. I mean, for real, there's probably more than one.
Mm-hmm. Probably. There's probably one for old people and one for younger people and one for people that hate Gilligan's Island.
Right?
One for people that are just a little mid on it. Right?
There's like a mid Gilligan's Island Facebook group.
There's probably one called, I'm sure there's one called Gilligan's Island is a Vibe or something stupid like that. Yeah. Ooh, maybe that can be a title. Gilligan's Island is a Vibe.
Gilligan's Island is a Vibe.
Or whatever that means.
I bet it's out there. I bet you it's, and you know what's, you know what sucks is when I get on Facebook again, some freaking,
there's gonna be something about Gilligan's
some
Island,
freaking Gilligan's Island groups are gonna pop up. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks everybody.
You're welcome. Yeah, if you don't think your phones are listening to you, this is the one thing that I will halfway subscribe to as a halfway conspiracy. Your phone's listening to you, because I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think it's real.
Well, no, because we were John and I were talking about something the other night. And it popped right up on his phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking like, so, and I actually had Golden Girls groups popping up in my feed. And I have never.
I do too, but I follow those.
But see, I have, but the weird thing is, I have never, I've never posted anything about Golden Girls anywhere. Mm-hmm. But my whole, my part of my Sunday morning.
You're watching.
Is to get up, do laundry, and watch Golden Girls before I go to Lawrence.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great show.
I'm watching it,
yeah,
and then it shows up on my feed.
Well, let's never forget the time me and Kyle were talking about spit cups on GBS.
Yes.
And then a Kentucky for Kentucky post about a spit cup showed up in my Instagram feed.
That was the ultimate.
That's one.
But that's right there. That mm-hmm. that if that don't convince you, then I don't know.
Yeah, because that was really, really random.
Yeah, that was super random.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like they were there.
Yeah. Twilight Zone, that's a good show.
Mm-hmm. There's probably 800,000 Twilight
Zone. Oh my God, I can't imagine.
Twilight Zone groups.
I can't imagine how many there are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ridiculous, but sometimes entertaining. You get lost for hours just looking at those random things.
Oh,
that pop up.
For sure. Well, and then of course, we're both, I think, a part of all the food groups around here, the Lexington Foodies and all that. Are you?
No.
You're
I
not,
need to follow that one
because
apparently
you do,
there's lots of
because
tea in that.
Yes. You want to talk about people just, and again, I have come to the conclusion, and I have said this before, and I think there have actually been studies done on this now, that social interaction on social media and kind of in real life too, like on texts, I've noticed this, text threads and stuff. Basically, the whole point of interacting with people is to crap on the stuff that other people like.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's like, why I hate
that
the
is
internet.
Literally the only reason people interact with each other is so that they can tell you that the thing you said that you liked is stupid. You're stupid for liking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's garbage.
Pretty much.
And there's 100 times things better out there than that thing that you like. Could be a restaurant, could be food, could be whatever.
Yeah. I feel like you get that a lot on Twix. I feel like on Facebook in those groups, if you click on the comments, you got a lot more people sticking up for you. Like if someone like comes after you, people are like, shut up.
Sometimes, but you got a lot of just really mean people that are like, "What, this restaurant sucks, and you suck for liking it."
Like, okay, guess I suck then.
Right.
Yeah. Often have thoughts like in my head of like what I would say to someone if I had a spine enough to say it, which people on the internet are not real people.
It's just not, it's not worth it. And that's like what I never, like,
oh, what do you like? Let me poop on that for a second.
Right.
Like, what's the point?
But I feel like it's carried over into real life. I really do. Where if you say you like something, then somebody is obligated to tell you why liking that is stupid.
Well, and if they tell me that in real life, they're going to get an earful of something they don't want to hear. Which I won't repeat here, because this is a family-friendly show.
That's like,
I don't care if I know them or not. Like, well, you can just go walk off cliff, I guess.
Right.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Because I've seen people on Twitter.
I don't come down to your job until you, I don't come down to Burger King and tell you how to do your job. So why do you care what
I've seen people on Twitter, like, there's just one guy in particular, and he'll post stuff about how, oh, like, Jimmy John's is trash and all this, and you know, he gets those ABC... You know,
oh, the tier list.
The tier list and all that stuff. And he's like, oh, this is A and everything else is garbage. So then he posts like, oh, here's a hot dog. What would you put on it? Or here's several pictures of different ways to have eggs. Which one would you pick? And I came this close to saying, why would I pick one? Because you're just going to tell me I'm wrong anyway. I didn't, because I'm not getting into that conversation.
Yeah.
But that's exactly where we are, especially on food. We'll bring it back around to food.
Yeah.
Especially on restaurants and food.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Just like what you like. Why do you care what someone else likes or what they don't like?
I get so irritated.
Like, it does irritate me too. Like why is there commentary on this?
It's like, then guess what? I just won't go there.
Yeah.
I won't give them my money.
Yeah. Take your money to
who
McDonald's
cares?
Then, I guess. I don't know.
Right?
If you don't like McDonald's, take it somewhere else.
Well, and that's my favorite too, is like, there's this Appalachian recipes group or something that I see, and I look at it because, you know, most of the recipes that they make, I mean, I'm not gonna make the recipes, but I'm like, oh yeah, that's really good, I like that. And I love the people who are like, oh my god, I can't believe you eat that, it's so disgusting.
Why are you here then?
I was like, good, then don't eat it.
Yeah, no one said you had to eat it.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, enough of that. People are the worst.
They are the worst. They probably know what the date is, though. I'm really, like, confused for some reason as to why I keep thinking it's May.
You're like,
and it's only April. I've erased a month of my life.
The wrinkle in time.
Yeah. Feels like a wrinkle in time. Feels just like a wrkle in life. I don't know. Does anyone else get confused about what day it is? Twice in 24 hours, I've been like, oh, no! This is going to happen next week! And I'm like, oh. It's actually April.
Would you think it? Yeah, you thought it was May.
I keep thinking it's the end of May.
I mean, you got stuff going on. You got life stuff going on that's coming up. So, you know, I think that your brain is just, you're so focused on that stuff that everything else, just, you have no idea what day it is.
Probably. But yeah. So if I say something weird, it's probably because I don't even know what day it is. So
yeah,
we're lucky that I made it here and remembered it was Tuesday.
I probably would have texted you at some point and been like, hey,
are you coming or not?
Are we doing this today? Or
what's the deal?
And you probably, oh, I forgot.
Yes. I won't say that hasn't happened to me in the past couple of weeks either. You know,
it's all right.
It's our lives. But our lives are always good when we have food.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Didn't you go to the Obstinate Sons?
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Since the last time
I've
been
here. Yeah. I totally forgot about the sea. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what day is it? Yes, I did. We did go to the Obstinate Sons. You and I didn't, but John and I did.
Yeah. How was that?
So, Obstinate Sons, it's in Chevy Chase. It's like right next to Josie's.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It used to be in an old carpet store.
Oh,
it was a carpet store, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I got to say, first off, it's smaller inside than you would think it would be. It's pretty small. They do have a nice bar. We sat at the bar. They have table seating or whatever. They actually have this area that's like this kind of little lounge area. So you can wait there and kind of be out of the way of the door.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Which is really nice. Because when a place that's small, it's, you know, it's hard to wait in the door and then people are trying to get in the door and all that. And you could actually order food there if you want. They also... kind of behind, like, so there's the bar, there's this walkway area, then they have this little area too where you can stand up, and also be out of the way of the door while you were waiting for a table and have drinks, just drinks.
Okay.
But you're out of the way of the door, which I thought was really a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got there. It was pretty packed. Like, they open at 4. We got there at, like, 5:30, and it was packed. But Saturday, after Keeneland, you know, what can you do?
True.
So, this is Dexter, whose family used to own Merrick Inn.
Yeah.
Till they sold it. It's him.
Okay.
That's doing it. So, be aware that he has an extensive bourbon list. He also has an extensive, what I will call a dusty list. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of stuff you won't be able to get pours of anywhere else.
Mm, cool.
Yeah. Now, be prepared to pay for those, but, you know, you're getting what you pay for.
True.
So, we just had, they have a full menu. Mm-hmm. We just got 4 shareables. So, what do we get? We got the deviled eggs.
Naturally.
Which... those are however the chef is doing them that day, so there's no set mm-hmm. set way for them.
Yeah.
So then we got I had to get the chicken livers.
Of course.
Now, the chicken livers were good, except if I went back, I would ask them to either put no sauce or sauce on the side, because they put them in this like maple... some kind of maple soy kind of Asian type sauce.
Yeah.
Which was fine, except it's made them soggy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you fried them.
Yeah.
And then you put the sauce on them, and you kind of ruined them. The flavor is good, though.
Yeah, like you could dip them easier.
Yeah. So then we had they weren't grilled, but they were broiled, I guess, whatever you want to call them, oysters, because they had like cheese and stuff on them. They were cooked.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had a shrimp, some kind of shrimp dish that was like a spicy shrimp, like on a, I'm going to say it was on some kind of like a cake, I'm blanking on the name, pimento cheese, spicy pimento cheese cake type of thing.
Okay.
That was really good. So,
interesting.
Yeah, overall, it was a good experience. I would definitely go back. I'd want to try some of their entrees, because there's people around us getting entrees, and they were gigantic.
Good, because I want to go there.
This one lady got, I want to say it was like a chicken marsala or something. It looked like it was enough for 4 people. Like, it was huge.
Dang.
And I will say that, like, for what you're getting, I feel like the price point was reasonable. It wasn't like stupid or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but definitely would recommend. But be aware, it is small.
Okay.
Inside.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of pictures. It does look very small. But yeah, I want to try that place too. So maybe we can hit that up at some point in the future when it's not Keeneland time.
Yeah, I'd totally go back. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. We did go to a new place for us. It's been around for a few months now. Desperados. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
No, Casada. Was it Casada? I can't remember.
I'm sure it was Desperado.
Was it? Okay, I don't remember.
Let me double check. Hold, please. Yes.
Okay.
Desperado's Cantina.
Oh, man, I was getting Cantina confused in there.
It's in the Distillery District here in Lexington, down the street from Reparina, where the Goodfellas is. It's actually owned by the same people that run Goodfellas. So it's like a taco cantina concept. It looks pretty cool. They've built on that little bar part, like separate bar part.
Yeah.
That's new, right?
I
wasn't there before.
I think that's new.
Yeah. So like a whole new little building, and then it's where the Middle Fork used to be. But it's cantina style tacos and different salsas and chips and an extensive tequila and mezcal list.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was decent.
Yeah. We just got us a few tacos. And
mm-hmm. Our queso was good.
The queso was
really good.
Yeah. I got just a regular gringo taco, just the beef taco, and then I guess it's supposed to be a Nashville hot chicken taco, which was hot, but it wasn't as hot as advertised. So, yeah, I was like, just to let you know, it's really hot.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'll be the judge of how hot it is.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But it was hot, but only for a second. Like, it went away after a few seconds. So it wasn't, like, unbearably hot, which is good. But, yeah, it was a nice little hang or whatever.
Pretty nice patio space.
Yeah, I had a really cool patio, and had like an area where you could sit on couches around like a little fireplace, kind of look out over the creek.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, it was okay. I had a pork belly taco. The guy acted like, again, the kimchi was going to be super spicy, and it wasn't. The pork belly was just a tad tough, but I mean, we were there on a Sunday at like 3 o'clock, so it, you know. The chicken taco was fine. The what they called the gringo taco, that was a hard shell taco, and I do love me a good old beef hard shell taco with tomatoes, lettuce, and cheese. I do. But was a little disappointed by their hard shell.
Yeah, I like a corn
so do I.
Hard shell tortilla. Yeah. It's not that it was bad. It was just like really crispy. Like it was just
well,
like,
obviously
like
what
off in all directions. They've been in.
Obviously, what they had done is they just took a flour tortilla and fried it.
Yeah,
yeah. But they didn't even bother to put any salt on it, so it was very. It was very to me. It was very plain.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't my favorite. I would get that gringo again, but I would probably get it in a soft taco form.
Yeah,
I wasn't a huge fan of their hard shell.
Yeah, I like their soft taco. But, that's what I had on the chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
But yeah, if you're down, I would say definitely if you're down there and you're looking for something different, hit it up for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'd go back.
Yeah.
I had like a ranch water drink, which is a tequila drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's like tequila and lime juice and Topo Chico. I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I love a Topo Chico.
Yeah. They didn't have a ton of beers, but I was fine because if I'm going to go to a Mexican place anyway, I like my Modelo. And they had Modelo on draft, and it was very good.
It'd be weird if they didn't, honestly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but overall, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I think we had a good experience.
Yeah, it was decent.
Yeah. It was very crowded for a Sunday afternoon,
was.
But I guess it was probably at Keeneland again.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Yeah, it was packed.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's a lot of new stuff down there that I haven't tried. One day, I'll try them all. We'll see. But, yeah, that's a... kind of our food adventures. I don't think I've been anywhere else, really, of note. Not that I can think of. Must not have been too good if I can't think of it.
Yeah, that happens on some weeks.
Yeah, it's fine. I probably don't need to eat out that much. But what I do need to do is tell you about this article that I found.
I'm super excited about this article.
That I thought Carrie would really like.
Yes, I'm excited.
As a Simpsons fan, so... I was perusing the internet, and then I thought, ooh, I wonder if there's any, like, good Simpsons food facts, because it's been on for 35 seasons.
Right.
So, surely at some point they've had some weird foods. Yeah. Although, I'm just going to go ahead and spoil it. The Ribwich was not on here.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think it was anyway.
It's because the animal that they made him from is extinct.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is, I'll start reading. I got something in my cheek. 12 of the best foods the Simpsons ever gave us. And this is from Yahoo.com via the takeout. Food is an essential element of the Simpsons, and its presence extends far beyond the ever-present pink donuts that Homer constantly gobbles up. America's longest-running sitcom has, over the years, presented an expansive exploration of dishes that tempt the characters, comfort them, or send them to an early grave. So let's take a look at the ones that, to the audience at least, look the most delicious. These 12 food moments from The Simpsons had us making Homer escadrille sounds the entire time. So the first one is the Happy Sumo's sushi platter. One fish, two fish, blowfish, bluefish.
Poison, tasty fish.
Yes, exactly. For someone who shovels a lot of food into his mouth, Homer can be quite difficult to please and is reluctant to try new foods. When the family heads to a Japanese restaurant, he's initially cynical, positive he won't enjoy any of it. But after a few bites of sushi, he's hooked, and he's soon wolfing down the whole menu. Homer's ravenous joy is infectious, and we find ourselves equally craving some of the delish raw fish, except, of course, the fugu. It also helps the delectability of the scene that the waiter, Akira, is voiced by George Takei. His voice would make anyone hungrier. The second one is Bart's Marshmallow Hot Chocolate. from Marge Be Not Proud.
Yes, you can add your own marshmallow. Yeah. Okay, I think I can do that. And then it just soaks up the whole thing.
Bart puts a marshmallow into his hot chocolate, but instead of floating on top of the cocoa, it expands from the heat, absorbs the hot chocolate entirely, and morphs into a bouncy, chocolatey log. This marshmallow incident is meant to reflect how badly Bart's fortunes have declined since he disappointed his mother, but it really has the opposite effect. It looks delicious, a small throwaway joke turned aspirational snack.
Because he cuts it up with a knife and fork and eats it.
Grandpa implores Bart to give him a slice, and we wish he could do the same. Number three, sirloin-a-lot steak. From the Simpsons Steak Eating Contest in Maximum Homer Drive.
I don't remember. What?
Season 10, episode 17.
Okay, maybe if you read it, I don't remember this one.
Avert your eyes, vegan friends. This episode sees the family visit an ultra-carnivorous restaurant, complete with a fountain of blood and complimentary baskets of hooves. While there, Homer rises to the challenge of a fellow diner and enters an eating contest where he must consume 16 pounds of indomitable tenderloin. The sirloin-a-lot is not only huge, but somehow visually delectable, with the right amount of juiciness and a decent fat-to-meat ratio inked into the animation. The steak proved to be too much for Homer to handle and literally killed the other guy, but that does nothing to knock it from the list.
I don't remember that one.
So there's just like a still of the
okay,
DVD.
Yeah, I don't.
Homer's Moon Waffles is number four from Homer the Heretic.
I didn't remember this one.
Yeah. We're talking about Homer's Moon Waffles, his patented space age out of this world moon waffles, to be precise. The ingredients include caramel, waffle batter, and liquid smoke. The entire container of each should do. The mixture gets cooked in a waffle iron until it appears to be burning, and then the piece de resistance. The waffle is wrapped around an entire stick of butter. It's a mess, but so are many of the decadent creations we whip up when we have a well-stocked kitchen and no people around to judge us.
Hilarious.
The moon waffle is lifted right out of our most fattening fantasies. Special mention goes to the ASMR elements that can be heard during the cooking scene. Mm. Simpsons truly did everything first. Number five, Pinchy the Lobster.
Pinchy!
Lisa gets an A. Lobsters are desirable but very expensive things to eat, which motivates Homer to purchase a scrawny little lobster in order to fatten it up with fine foods and eventually feast upon it or eat the profits, as Homer says. The plan works until Homer grows attached to the lobster, which he names Pinchy, and instead decides to adopt it as a member of the Simpson family. However, giving Pinchy a nice hot bath after a stressful day leads to exactly the culinary outcome you might expect. One of the most inadvertently disturbing scenes in Simpsons history features Homer eating the crustacean that he had, just a short time prior, been lovingly raising as a pet. Yeah. In between sobs are impassioned moans about how tasty the lobster is. As a viewer, it's confusing to be put off by Homer's display and yet want to feast on the very same lobster.
Pinchy.
Pinchy. Number six, Gummy Venus de Milo.
Gummy
from Homer
Venus.
Badman. It's the rarest gummy of them all, carved by gummy artisans who work exclusively in the medium of gummy. The Gummy Venus de Milo. Homer is captivated by the exquisite sight, even among the infinite distractions of the greater candy convention at which the gummy is found, and decides to do whatever he can to possess it. Although normal candy fans wouldn't do what Homer eventually did in order to attain the Gummy Venus, that is, peel it off someone's behind, we certainly appreciate a sweet masterpiece when we see it. Oh, yeah, that's the one where...
Sexual harassment, yes, with the babysitter, yeah. Uh-huh.
Number seven, Ethiopian Platter. This is from a newer one.
I don't know.
The Food Wife, season 23.
No, I got nothing on this.
Many claim The Simpsons has grown stale in later seasons, but it remains capable of giving us food moments that are anything but. This episode sees Marge, Bart, and Lisa sampling Ethiopian food for the first time after the family car breaks down in an unfamiliar area. The feast they are served, exotic to them, is scrumptiously drawn and manages to satisfy three very different Simpsons palettes, even kicking off a literal party in Marge's mouth. If online comments are to be believed, this episode left many viewers keen for some Ethiopian food, and it did a solid job at depicting the deliciousness of traditional stews eaten with injera flatbread.
Fun fact, there is an Ethiopian, it's not really a restaurant, but I think it operates out of Grey Line Station, mm-hmm. and you can order from it and go pick it up.
Ooh.
They just started.
Nice.
It's here in town.
I'll have to find the name of that one. Next is the Giant Rice Krispie Square, and this is from The Boy Who Knew Too Much in season 5.
Okay.
All the deliciousness of a Rice Krispie square in gigantic, gravity-defying form. Bart spots this beauty when he sneaks into a party of elites while skipping school, and viewers live vicariously through him as he sinks his teeth into it with a satisfying snap, crackle, and pop. The sight of someone having taken a bite from the big square temporarily overshadows the crime scene of which it is eventually a part, although this could be more indicative of the police chief's uselessness than the Rice Krispies square's magnificence. Both are possible. Steamed hams.
Yes.
From my Carrie's favorite episode. Yeah. 22 short films about Springfield. See, I knew that about him.
Love it.
We've all craved a Krusty burger and fries at some point, but their temptation reaches its zenith in this scene. Not only are they served on a fancy tray and given an elegant, if incapable, name, they also form the centerpiece of one of the most iconic and oft-referenced sequences in the show's history. Skinner's hams even managed to earn a rating of good from the chronically grumpy Superintendent Chalmers. That's about as great an endorsement as Simpsons food could get.
I have to say, Skinner, you're an odd man, but you steam a good ham.
I do love Superintendent Chalmers.
I also love it. And you, these are obviously grilled, yet you call them steamed hams. Oh yes, upstate New York. We call them that in upstate New York. Really, upstate New York? Well, I'm from Utica. Oh no, it's more of an Albany expression. Yeah. I've never heard it. Oh no, you wouldn't. It's more of an Albany expression. But I do love it. You steam a good ham.
Then we got Mount Bellyache from Lisa's Pony.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
In season 3.
She takes one bite, I'm done.
Yeah. It wouldn't be an animated series without a comically oversized sundae. After Homer grievously disappoints Lisa by ruining her sax solo at a school concert, he attempts to mend fences by treating her to this epic dessert at the local ice cream parlor. At a cost of $88, that's $194 in, adjusted for inflation in 2023, when this was written. Mount Bellyache is a dazzling heap of ice creams, bananas, cherries, and more, requiring a wheelbarrow to serve it. The sundae fails to lift Lisa's spirits, but she does take one polite spoonful before declaring herself finished. We'll take the rest. Yeah, because her reed broke, and she needed a new reed, and instead of like going into the store for the last minute to get it, he just went to get beers.
Yep, and then he gets the guy to open the store back up, but he doesn't know which kind of saxophone he needs yet.
Yeah. Then we have Nacho Hat.
Oh, yes.
From Homer Loves Flanders.
Yes.
In season 5. Isn't it strange that a 22nd joke from 1994 remains an endearing concept that many of us clearly remember? That's the power of a tasty Simpsons food moment. The Nacho Hat may not be the most practical or architecturally sound example of a fantasy stadium snack, but hey, it's nachos that you can wear. We're here for it, and we wanted it at all our football games. And then the last one is La Bombe Eclair.
Yes.
From Guess Who's Coming to Criticize Jenner.
Yep.
Sorry. Guess Who's Coming to Criticize
Jenner. They try to kill Homer with it.
Yeah. When Homer's career as a tough food critic threatens to sink multiple businesses throughout Springfield, the town's restaurateurs conspire to kill him. The weapon? A lethally decadent eclair. It contains over 1 million calories, has 25 pounds of butter per square inch, and is covered with chocolate so dark that light can't escape its surface. Just a photo of the eclair is enough to reduce a bunch of distinguished food professionals into ravenous zombies. Shut up and take my life. So that's their 12 top delectable ones.
So I'm disappointed about the Ribwich. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you warned me up front about that. Mm-hmm. I'm also disappointed that they didn't do the fries, the Mo fries, when Mo starts Mo's Family Feedback.
Yeah. I'm also going to add a third that I wish was in there. The chili from the chili.
I was
going to
say that too.
The five
too.
Alarm
yes.
chili or whatever, the however many
yes.
alarm chili.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be Flanders chili, which he says is five alarm, and then Homer's like, this isn't very hot. And he's like, you know what? You're right. It's actually two alarm. But then when he eats Chief Wiggum's chili after he puts like all of those world's hottest peppers in it.
Yes.
And then he just eats a hot pepper and hallucinates.
He pours a candle wax
down his throat. Yeah. And,
or hay.
Yeah. So it was a decent list. Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Okay.
But I think they were probably going for like less obvious ones too.
They're probably also going with things like that you could eat, like you would want to eat, right?
Yeah.
Like the chili, so much.
We've all had chili.
Fries off somebody's head, probably not so much. Mm-hmm. What is that? Here I am. Thank you, ma'am. And then he gets, please take the basket off my head. These fries are very hot.
He's just like screaming the song.
Yeah. And I feel like there's been more foods over. Oh, the tobacco. Would you want to eat tobacco?
Oh, yeah.
Where he crossbreeds the tobacco and the...
I mean, it was very addicting, you know. I don't know why.
Tobacco.
Yep. Is that the same one where they treat all that farmland with the radioactive waste?
No, that's a different one.
Okay, I feel like I always get those mixed up.
No, the tobacco one, I think...
They planted tomato plants mm-hmm. on their old family farm, yeah. and it was actually, like, laced with tobacco.
And then Bart, like, becomes addicted to them, whatever, yeah.
And then they start selling them to kids, because they're like, oh, it's this new, like, good vegetable. Kids eat the vegetables, and then all kids get addicted to nicotine.
What about malk?
Oh, yeah. It gives you plenty of vitamin R.
Or also they miss the hippie juice when Homer who are the hippies? Is it George Carlin and I'm trying to think of who else did the voices.
I can't remember,
but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, where he meets his mom's friends or whatever.
There's so many good ones. But, yeah. Well, and Lard Lad Donuts. I would eat a Lard Lad Donut.
Oh, yeah. That's the classic pink donut, which they didn't say up front that they were trying to think of things other than the donut.
But I like that they went a little bit off. Donut. Yeah. Speaking of any food in general,
yeah,
I think it's time for whatever segment. Whatever it is. I don't know.
Everybody wants to try some food. And try we shall. So what do you want to try first?
I don't know. I'm always going for the savory first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got, I think we talked about this 17 months ago on...
It's been a while.
Girls Beer Sports and Take It or Leave It. But these are Lay's East Coast inspired BLT sandwich chips. Just plain, like, potato chips. They're not... I mean, they're seasoned, obviously, but they're not kettle chips. They're
right,
not ridges.
Right.
They're just... The regular potato chip. So, what'd you think about that one?
I liked them. I thought the flavor was real good. I thought, in terms of the BLT, it delivers what it promises.
For sure. I think you said before we started, you wish there was a little bit more bacon.
Yeah.
I think I do, too. But, oddly enough, I taste the bread and the mayo a lot more than everything else.
I mean, I got a tang of tomato and then some bacon. Mm-hmm. Would have liked a little bit more bacon. But, you know, and they're fine. They're good. I'm not saying they're bad. I've been eating them, too, and I really like the flavor. Mm-hmm. But personally, and this is a personal preference, mm-hmm. I personally like a thicker chip, a kettle chip. I feel like that gives you more, like, it I don't know. I feel like flavor clings to those better than it does like just this regular thin chip. But overall, they're good.
Yeah, I like them. You definitely feel like you're eating a BLT. Like, I almost feel like the texture of like the lettuce for some reason when I eat that. I don't know. It's weird.
They're good, though. I like them.
Yeah, would recommend. And then the other thing we literally just talked about on today's episode of Girls Beer Sports.
Yeah, one that dropped today.
Yes. So this is on our latest Take It or Leave It. This is the Pop-Tarts Crunchy Poppers, and these are the Frosted Strawberry Crunch.
Yes, and I think I left these, and I was totally wrong. I was 100% wrong, and I will retract again on Sunday. I am taking these. These things are really good because... They really are like a little Pop-Tart combo, which is the article that I had described them as. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that when you eat them, they are crunchy, so you do get texture, but you get like that artificial fruit flavor jelly right off the bat.
Yep.
Like, you know, sometimes when you bite into a Pop-Tart, you don't get all that, the filling right away.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it's in the middle, but this is all middle.
Do you know what this kind of reminds me of? The crunch? It's not like... I like a combo all right, but a combo is like a road trip only snack. Like, I'm not just sitting in my house eating combos.
No, I agree with that, actually.
But combos are really thick.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like way too much. It's like super thick on the outside and then like a little dab of cheese or whatever on the inside. These are like thin... but still very crispy. It's almost like eating the outer edge of the Pop-Tart when it's been toasted.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's like crunchy, but it's not super crunchy.
But with all the filling in it.
Yeah, with mega filling.
That was good. They're good.
Yeah, I like them. They also have like the whatever the double chocolate flavor is of Pop-Tarts too, but I don't like double chocolate. I don't like chocolate on chocolate.
I do, and I would probably eat those.
Yeah.
But I'm not hating on these. I can tell you that.
What is your favorite Pop-Tart flavor?
I don't know. We've talked about this before. I mean, I like strawberry.
Yeah.
I like strawberry. I think that's probably my favorite. I mean, you like cherry.
I like cherry, and I will not take any more further discussion on the best one because it's cherry. I mean, these are good. These are strawberry, and they're fine, but I wish they came in cherry flavor because I would probably own stock in the cherry flavor.
It's just so good. You'd have a pantry full of nothing but Pop-Tarts crunchy cherries.
Yes, and then wonder why I can't lose weight. Yes, whatever. There's fruit in here. It's fruity.
It's fruit. I'm eating fruit.
Yeah, for sure.
Those are two good offerings today, though.
Yeah, they were
on the table for sure.
Good stuff at the store.
Really enjoyed them.
Yep. Now I think it's time for our other segment, the Hinky History Lesson.
So it is officially baseball season. Baseball season has begun, right?
We're playing softball.
Well, softball, yeah.
Softball. I don't remember the rest of the word. Something about Daryl Strawberry at the end.
Ken Griffey's. I can't remember the whole song now off the top of my head. But that's a great
Homer at bat.
That's a great episode. Ozzy and the Straw. Yeah, that's what it is. Ozzy and the Straw. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you go to watch a baseball game, obviously the most important thing is the snacks. It's the concessions.
Yeah, obviously.
Who cares about the game? I'm there for the concessions, right? I'm there for Nacho Helmet.
Yes, I'm there for Ice Cream Helmet.
Yeah, whatever, right?
Hot dog.
So a staple of baseball concessions since probably late 18th, early 19th century has been Cracker Jacks. I mean, it's Cracker Jacks.
I don't care if I never
get back. Exactly. So, I'm going to give you today the history of Cracker Jack.
Okay.
And this is from Wikipedia. They had, I feel like, what was kind of the most comprehensive breakdown best article for this. So, Cracker Jack is an American brand of snack food that consists of molasses-flavored, caramel-coated popcorn and peanuts. Well known for being packaged with a prize of trivial value inside. It says that. The Cracker Jack name slogan, "The more you eat, the more you want," was registered in 1896. Cracker Jack is famous for its connection to baseball lore. The Cracker Jack brand has been owned and marketed by Frito-Lay since 1997. Yeah, so there you go. All right. The origin of sugar-coated popcorn with a mixture of peanuts is unknown, but periodicals document its manufacture and sale in North America as far back as the early 19th century. The Freeport, Illinois Daily Journal newspaper, published on January 29th, 1857, for example, contains an advertisement by a local merchant selling sugar-coated popcorn. Recipes for popcorn and peanut mixtures were mentioned in North American literature and expressions of speech. You've got 1867, 1885, 1886 edition of the Pennsylvania Historical Review, Gazetteer, Post Office Express, and Telegraph Guide lists Goodwin Brothers, 105 North Front Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, as manufacturers of sugar-coated popcorn, prize balls, corn balls, corn cakes. So there's a lot of this sugar-coated popcorn going on in like the late 19th century, right?
Sure.
In Chicago, there are two legends of how Cracker Jack originated. The older attributes it to Charles Frederick Gunther. Not Gunther the monkey from Futurama, but no. Also known as the Candyman. Ooh, Chicago Candyman.
Oh, well, next you're going to tell me he lived in Cabrini Green, too.
Yeesh. And Cracker Jack King. The other attributes it to Frederick William Ruckenheim, a German immigrant known informally as Fritz, who sold popcorn at 113th 4th Avenue, now known as Federal Street, in Chicago beginning in 1871. Ruckenheim popcorn was made by hand using steam equipment. In 1873, Fritz bought out his partner, William Brinkmeyer, and brought his brother, Louis, from Germany to join in his venture, forming the company F.W. Ruckenheim and Bro. The Ruckenheim brothers produced a new recipe, including popcorn, peanuts, and molasses, and first presented to the public at the World's Columbian Exposition, Chicago's first World's Fair in 1893.
Okay.
Which seems logical, because that's where you present stuff, right?
Sure.
World's Fairs. The molasses of this early version was too sticky. In 1896, Lewis discovered a method to separate the kernels of molasses-coated popcorn during the manufacturing process. As each batch was mixed in a cement mixer-like drum, a small quantity of oil was added and closely guarded trade secret. Before this change, the mixture had been difficult to handle as it stuck together in chunks. In 1896, the first lot of Cracker Jack was produced. The same year, the product's name and tagline, "The more you eat, the more you want," were registered. It was named as if someone tasted it and remarked, "That's a Cracker Jack." Cracker Jack is a colloquialism meaning of excellent quality.
Interesting.
Yes. In 1899, Henry Gottlieb Eckstein developed the wax-sealed package for freshness known as the Eckstein Triple Proof Package, a dust, germ, and moisture-proof paper package. In 1902, the company was reorganized as Ruckenheim Bros. And Eckstein. In 1907, the release of the song "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," written by lyricist Jack Norworth and composer Albert von Tilzer, gave Cracker Jack free publicity with his line, "Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack." In 1922, the name of the Chicago company was changed to the Cracker Jack Company. So, let me tell you a little bit about the baseball connection.
Yes.
Cracker Jack is known for commonly being sold at baseball games and is mentioned in "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." Each July from 1982 to 1985, Cracker Jack sponsored an old-timers classic game featuring former MLB players. On June 16, 1993, the 100th anniversary of Cracker Jack was celebrated at Wrigley Field.
Oh, cool.
Before the game, Sailor Jack, the company's mascot, threw out the ceremonial first pitch. So he's the little kid with the sailor, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 2004, the New York Yankees baseball team replaced Cracker Jack with the milder sweet butter toffee flavored Crunch and Munch. I like Crunch and Munch, but come on, man. At a baseball game?
Crunch and Munch
is good. It's good. After public outcry, the club switched back to Cracker Jack because I'm not going to the baseball game to have Crunch and Munch.
Yeah, it's not give me some peanuts and
crunch and munch, right? Yeah.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's the thing is, and that's the only time I honestly have ever had Cracker Jacks.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I've ever had Cracker Jacks. I think for a long time I thought I couldn't eat them. But now that I'm older and wiser and can eat all the peanuts I want.
So I think we're going to have to get some so you can try it on the show.
I'm down.
Because I'm going to tell you, well, we'll get there. Hold on.
Okay.
So toys and prizes.
Mm-hmm.
Cracker Jack originally included a small mystery novelty item referred to as a toy surprise in each box. The tagline for Cracker Jack was originally candy-coated popcorn, peanuts, and a prize, but has since become caramel-coated popcorn and peanuts under Frito-Lay. Prizes were included in every box of Cracker Jack beginning in 1912. One of the first prizes was in 1914 when the company produced the first of two Cracker Jack baseball card issues, which featured players from both major leagues as well as players from the short-lived Federal League.
Hmm.
Early toy surprises included rings, plastic figurines, booklets, stickers, temporary tattoos, and decoder rings. Books have been written cataloging the prizes, and a substantial collector's market exists. Until 1937, Cracker Jack toy prizes were made in Japan. They were designed by Carrie Cloud from 1938. Many metal toys were also made by Tootsie Toy, who also made Monopoly game pieces. During World War II, the prizes were made of paper, for obvious reasons, because they kind of needed the metal.
Sure. I don't know why.
In 1961, the 1961 movie Breakfast at Tiffany's, the lead couple goes to Tiffany & Company, where they have a ring from a box of Cracker Jack engraved. I'd never seen that movie.
Really?
Nope.
I've seen it, but it's been a long time. That sounds vaguely familiar.
I like the song Breakfast at Tiffany's, but...
Just a sidebar about the movie. It's fun until the end, and then it makes you just have like an existential crisis.
Well,
cry a lot. So
the prizes attained pop culture status with the phrase, "came in a Cracker Jack box," or metaphorical comparisons to a Cracker Jack prize, particularly when applied sarcastically to engagement and wedding rings of dubious investment value. The Jim Steinman song, "Two Out of Three Ain't Bad," Meatloaf, includes the lyric, "There ain't no Coupe de Ville hiding at the bottom of a Cracker Jack box." Under Frito-Lay, toy and trinket prizes were replaced with paper prizes displaying riddles and jokes, then temporary tattoos. In 2013, some prizes became codes for people to play nostalgic games on the Cracker Jack app through Google Play for Android-powered devices. The announcement was made in 2016 that these gameplays would replace tangible prizes.
Well, but that's a bummer that they no longer have prizes.
I hate it.
Because I really wanted to get a box of Cracker Jack on the next episode and find a prize.
It makes me really sad.
Also, I don't have an Android. So this doesn't work for me. Well, I don't have it on that.
I'm sure they put it on there. Now it's probably for both.
Now it's probably non-existent because who would do that?
Well, the bottom line is it just sucks. It just sucks because it was always fun, like getting there. Even if it was a stupid temporary tattoo.
Yeah.
It was still the fun of getting it, and you open it or whatever.
Right.
You get these little books that fold out and stuff. Eh.
It always felt like that would be the reason to get it. Almost like even when you got cereal as a kid when there's a prize in there.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, too. The popcorn to peanut ratio is ridiculous. Because the peanuts are the best part. Mm-hmm. I could leave the popcorn and just straight up eat the peanuts.
Do they fall to the bottom, too?
Yes.
Because of a density issue.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. But I'm telling you, the popcorn to peanut ratio in Cracker Jacks is disappointing. And I think over the years, it's even got more disappointing.
Probably.
You get like three peanuts and then all the popcorn. The popcorn's fine, but I want the peanuts. Everybody tell you the peanuts is where it's at.
Yeah. I mean, I can eat kettle corn anywhere.
Right.
But where am I going to eat that with peanuts?
Yeah.
I guess I could make it.
But honestly, sporting events are like the only places that I ever eat Cracker Jacks. I eat them at a football game or whatever. Mm-hmm. I haven't had them in forever because I've been so disappointed. Number one, you don't get a prize anymore.
Yeah.
Number two, the peanut to popcorn ratio is just gone in the toilet.
I hate to see it.
But there's your history of the Cracker Jack.
Excuse me.
There you go.
I enjoyed it immensely. So that was good. Like I said, I've not had Cracker Jack that I can remember. I want to try. So maybe we can make that happen.
Yeah.
You
can buy it in regular store. Like, it's not, like, exclusive to just ballparks
or
whatever.
I've seen it before, like, at Walmart or whatever. So it's definitely out there, so.
Yeah. Maybe pick some up.
We can get some for the next one or something.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, good job. Appreciate it. Yeah, I think that's a... Kind of did a lot there.
That's a full show.
Yeah. So let's just talk about what we're drinking real quick, because they're both interesting to us only,
yes,
probably.
Yeah.
But I've completed the what we've decided to call the quadrilogy.
Quadrilogy, yes.
What was the other term?
Well, I just thought of quadfecta, which I like.
Oh, yeah.
I like quad... No, but that's still only three, right?
No,
that... Is that four? No, we're going with the quadning. I also said the quadning.
I
like quadrilogy.
Yeah, quadrilogy rolls off the tongue a little bit. The quadrilogy of the sparkling ice Starburst flavors. Because, you know, I already had the yellow, the red, and the pink, all of which tasted like what they were supposed to taste like. This one is the orange one. It vaguely tastes like the orange Starburst. It more just tastes like orange soda.
Oh.
Which, I mean, meh. Unlike Kel, or like Kel from Kenan and Kel, I do. Who loves orange soda? I do. I really,
really,
really
orange
really
soda.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good, but it doesn't give me that Starburst taste like the other three did. So, even though the prophecy has been fulfilled.
Quadrilogy is complete.
It did not live up to the hype. But the other three, that yellow one still, like, blow my mind. And they still had all of these at Kroger as of, 2 days ago.
Okay.
And I didn't notice them until I heard someone walk by and go, huh, Starburst flavored sparkling ice. And I was like, oh, it's here. Oh, I need that one. And just like reached over a bunch of people and grabbed one. And I'm sure they were like, what a freak. Who's excited about this?
You didn't want anybody to snake you on it.
I didn't want anyone to take the
right?
hundreds of cases that they had.
Because you had to complete the quadrilogy.
I had to. Now it's complete. It has been fulfilled. Some temple somewhere has opened up, and the end of the world is beginning, I'm sure. But
Gozer the Gozerian is on the way.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, but what... You've got just a regular old Coke.
Yeah, so I've drank a regular old sugar, full sugar, original Coke on here a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember what episode it was. But I saw this thing on the Twix today, and I thought, oh, I gotta talk about this, so I gotta drink this so I can talk about it, right? So today, in case people didn't know, as of the recording of this, which is April 23rd.
Not May 23rd.
Yes, no, April 23rd. So new Coke hit the shelves April 23rd, 1985.
Oh.
The product was a flop, and Coke reintroduced their original formula within 3 months, rebranded as Coca-Cola Classic, which I don't think it's Coca-Cola Classic now. It's just Coca-Cola, and it
original
just says
taste.
Original taste on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
which resulted in a significant gain in sales. Now, I was thinking about this. Because I saw somebody on the Twix be like, yeah, new Coke, what a terrible move. But was it? Or was it genius?
Or did they do it on purpose?
Thank you.
To make their, like, next movie even bigger.
Yes, because think about it. You give people what you know is crap, right? And then they can't find the good stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know what? This is crap. Here's good stuff. And then people are like, yeah, good stuff. And then they buy it all, right? And so your sales go through the roof.
Yes.
I think it was a little from A and B, right? Mm-hmm. I think they were,
we'll call them A.
Yeah. I think once they released New Coke, they were like, oh, we have made a horrible mistake. And then they were like, ooh, excellent. We can capitalize on this horrible mistake, right? Instead of just being like, no, you peasants, you just shut up and drink the new Coke.
Yeah. Yes, I used that that gif of Mr. Burns doing his little excellent fingers like daily at work.
Nice. Well, and that was 1985 too. So again, got to point out, no social media, no internet. No. You know, it was just basically word of mouth, and people were like, "This is garbage," and they voted with their dollar, and they did not buy it.
And I feel like, from like stories that I've seen about it online, like videos, it was all over the news.
Because the nightly news, the local news at that time, that's how you got your information, right? I mean, you really did rely on the news to tell you what was going on in the world.
Yeah, I remember those.
And
things.
Stuff like that was a huge story, just because, I mean, Coke was iconic Americana, right?
Yeah,
and everybody loved Coke, grew up with Coke, you know. And then they go up and change the formula for because it's 1985, right? Yeah. Back to the Future, woo!
Did you go Back to the Future and get the classic Coke?
Right. Yeah. No, Marty was drinking Pepsi in that movie, because because when he went back to the future to the diner, he asked for a Pepsi free, and the guy's like, "What? Yeah, just give me something with no sugar."
Yeah. Speaking of that, there's a Netflix show about Pepsi. You remember when Pepsi did the...
Yeah, I watched it. I talked about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I just tried to watch it, and I'll be honest, I wasn't interested. But now there's a podcast, because apparently a Netflix show was not enough. We have a podcast dedicated to this
story. I could see
story.
Why you... Because how old were you when that happened?
Was that the early 90s?
Yeah.
Probably like 6 or 7.
So you wouldn't have even been... It wouldn't even been on your radar. Like, it was like people like me...
Yeah,
you know, that was on our radar, that with this the Pepsi points and all of that.
I think the Netflix documentary, I don't think I loved the way that they were laying out like how they did it.
That's fair.
Because I was like, what's the? I mean, I remember like some form of Pepsi points, and then it became like Mountain Dew points and all that stuff, like cigarette points.
There's a lot of points in the 80s and 90s.
Points.
Yeah.
But like I remember all that stuff, but I don't know, just the way that they were like doing the show, it wasn't holding my personal attention.
That's I could see that. Well, because honestly,
maybe the podcast will be better. I don't know.
Well, because honestly, I think they tried to stretch it out too far.
Yeah.
Cuz there's substance there.
Yeah, this is a 2-episode.
Yeah, but miniseries. I feel like they really tried to stretch it out to like 4 episodes or something, whatever it was. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Because we watched the whole thing.
It was like one of those where, for once, I want them to explain things up top. And they just started like going into like things out of order. Almost.
Well, and then I really felt
too much flipping from like now back to the past.
And yeah.
In the middle, and
I could see that.
The past.
Well, and I felt bad because a couple of the guys who came up with the promotions or whatever got thrown straight under the bus, mm-hmm. like straight under the bus.
Yeah, which I'm gonna offer a fighter jet as a prize anyway. You know, that's
yeah,
a little ridiculous.
I think everybody thought it was ridiculous, but you always got one person that's like, nah,
someone came in the system,
right? But anyway, yay Coke. I'm glad they brought back the classic.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic for a reason. It's got that original taste.
It's exactly right. So. Yes.
You know what else has that original taste? Our social media. Not really, but you know, it's there if you want to look at it.
Taste the meat, not the heat.
That's right. It's It's all filler, no killer.
There you go.
I think it's supposed to be the other way around, but I like it my way. But you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at HungryKY. You can send me an email, HungryKY@gmail.com. You can find our show every other Wednesday, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And then we have a blog that I sometimes update called Bluegrass Bourbon and Eats. That's on Facebook and Instagram at Bluegrass Bourbon and Eats. And we have a website with some old interesting articles, bbnews.com. And then where do we find you at, Gary?
On Twix at GRLS for Sports, on Facebook, and on Instagram, everywhere good podcasts are free.
Well, thanks again for listening to Hungry in Kentucky. And as always, stay hungry, Kentucky.